Good evening. This is J. Carroll Nash. What will happen if atomic energy gets out of hand? We are just beginning to understand what great blessings could come from its beneficial use. We already know its destructive power. The men who have studied atomic energy say that if some sort of control is not worked out among nations, it could devastate us. What you are about to hear is a story of what our country could be like after atomic war.
The Fifth Horseman.
Four horsemen rode across the land, and the names were
War,
Pestilence,
Famine,
Death. And to these now is added a fifth horseman, the threat of the atom.
The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Fifth Horseman, written and produced by Arnold Marquis. Here is an account of the significance of atomic energy and the problem it poses to mankind. Starring J. Carroll Nash, this is the seventh in the series titled Aftermath.
Name?
Stanchion.
Initials?
A.D.
Uh-huh. Where did you come from? Your home?
St. Louis.
And where were you at the time it happened?
I was just outside of Brookfield, Missouri. That was my territory.
Mm-hmm. Family in St. Louis?
Yes.
As I remember, St. Louis was hit by the first flight.
Yes.
I know this is painful for you to talk about, Mr. Stanchion, but we've got to have a record of everyone here in dispersal area 743.
I understand.
Did you go back to St. Louis?
Yes. The roads were crowded with people, some in automobiles and trucks, most of them walking, nearly all of them burned or bleeding.
Did you get into St. Louis?
No, the troops stopped me at the outskirts. The city was still blazing. The guards said the place was so radioactive no one could go in. I drove my car to a side road and headed. And that night went in on foot. The next afternoon, twilight, I found the place. The place where our house had been.
Uh-huh.
It was smashed and burned to the ground like all the rest of St. Louis. Five atomic bombs hit the city. I could find no trace whatever of my family.
Perhaps one half of the population of the United States were destroyed in the 2 days of war.
Is there anything else you want of me?
Yeah. How did you get out here?
I drove out. I wandered all over the country hoping to find a trace of my family. I got gasoline from abandoned automobiles, abandoned pump stations, anywhere I could find it.
You have any gasoline still in your tank?
About a pint.
Your car is now the property of this dispersal area. It will be used for the common good. There are only a few gallons of gasoline left here. We don't know when we can get more.
Yeah.
You will be assigned to a house with several other men. You will work along with all the others. You will share with all of us in this area food that we have.
The director assigned me to a house with three men.
Who does that director think he is, a dictator?
That was Mac from Omaha.
This place is going to be just what we make it, Stanchion.
And that was Harmon from New York.
They're not going to keep me here, law or no law.
And that was Kane from New Orleans. All able-bodied men worked cutting wood. The winter was coming, there was no fuel.
Last news we got over the radio was that we had annihilated the enemy airborne troops that had been sent to take us over.
We crippled the enemy with our retaliation bomb, and that's what we did.
Yeah, but they crippled us, too.
I couldn't believe it had happened.
We've sunk into a complete paralysis of production and communication extension. There's no power. The dams and power stations have been smashed. The coal mines have been abandoned by the miners looking for food. Planes have been grounded by lack of gasoline. The railroad centers have been destroyed and abandoned, so there are no trains.
No trains have come through since the disaster?
No.
No supplies being brought in at all?
Where'd they be brought in from?
Yeah, the only place nearby that's got anything is 608, the dispersal area upstate. It was foolish of me not to stay there. And they're looking out for themselves.
They've got a group of scientists up there that's trying to work out some...
Scientists? They're the guys we can thank for this whole mess. Science should be prohibited here and everywhere in the world.
We cut wood all day and hauled it into the area. It was fall. The cold winds were beginning to blow. At night, we went down to the mess hall for our food.
Beans, squash, and corn. Beans, squash, and corn. Is that all we're ever going to get?
That's all there is, Kane.
Yeah, I'll bet the director has meat.
Yeah.
Where would he get it?
Why doesn't he eat down here with the rest of us?
If we're going to live at all, we've got to live on what we've got until we can raise some more. There is no sugar, and when meat's brought into the area, all of us get some.
That's the way the talk went every day. No one talked about what happened to his people. But it came out little by little. Mac's parents, mother, father, and two sisters, were hit in Omaha. Kane's wife and two kids died from radioactivity in New Orleans. Harmon's sister, the only relative he had, was killed by the atomic bomb that hit New York. Kane and Mac had drifted across the devastated country from one dispersal area to another until they got here to 743.
Well, I'm not going to stay here.
You know it's against the regulations to leave, Kane.
Who made the regulations? The director. By what right does he make the laws for me?
After supper, the director came down to the mess hall.
Our only hope of survival is to work together, to share what we have. Every person that can work must work. There will be no mercy for malingerers. Winter is coming. It's going to be cold. We've got to have fuel. And we've got to get it now. Those who do not work will not eat. No one can leave this area without my authorization. And until someone among you can run this area better than I can, I'll run it.
That night at the house, Harmon and I talked late. There was no light, except for the candle we'd made.
How can we preserve what we know for the generations to come, Stanchion? That's what worries me.
I don't know.
Most of the libraries and the universities are gone.
But even if they weren't, most of the people who know and understand what's in the books are dead.
I wonder if I could get every person here in 743 to write down everything he knows.
Well?
I know it sounds impossible, Stanchion, but if we don't, everything we know or have learned, all the experience we've had, might die with us.
I know.
What we ought to do is organize some kind of school here in 743 as fast as we can. At least you and I, all of us who are here now, saw civilization and culture. The coming generation will never have seen it at all.
We talked until the candle got it out. We talked for an hour more in the dark.
Where are Kane and Mac?
Kane and Mac didn't come in.
Bet they've run away.
I lay there in the dark thinking about them almost till dawn. Then I fell asleep.
Police, open the door. Police, open the door.
Harmon went to the door.
Yes?
Emory Kane here.
Stanchion, is Kane here?
Kane? Well, I don't know.
I'll have to search the place.
They searched the house.
Kane must have tried to leave in the dark last night with McAllister. We caught McAllister. He's in jail right now, waiting to be taken before the director.
We all went to work in the woodlots as usual that day. At night, word was passed that Mac was going to be brought before the director.
Wait a minute. Why, what right do you say that I can't leave here? What right do you have to send your men out to drag me back here and lock me up? Who appointed you, Director? Who elected you?
I was appointed manager of this dispersal area by the government before the disaster. And I will stay on the job until the government relieves me.
What government? There's no government left.
The government ordered, before the disaster, that once a man is registered in a dispersal area, he must stay there until the emergency is over. You left without permission, McAllister, and it is my judgment that you must surrender your liberty for a period of 30 days. You will be locked up. Then you will be put on probation.
If there's still a government, I have my civil rights.
Come on, McAllister.
On Sundays, we gathered to listen to Harmon, who'd been a resettlement worker in New York before the atomic war.
What we must do is return to spiritual values. Because we and all the other people neglected them, the land we loved and all the world we knew was devastated. Now we must do all possible to save what is left. All of us face the great responsibility of putting our lives together.
After Mac had served his time, he came back to work.
This is like being in a prison camp.
Where would you go if you left here, Mac?
Oh, at least I could get out of this cold.
That's why we've got to gather all the firewood we can now.
We're never going to be able to get enough to last us all winter. And where will we be with these clothes?
They've been talking about making clothes. As soon as we can get something to make them out of.
Yeah, what's going to happen to us before we get them? And how about shoes? Look at mine.
We're going to have to make our shoes, too.
With what?
What we wondered about most was whether we'd have enough food to see us through the winter. The beans and corn and squash were rationed. Some grain was coming in by wagon from the farmers south and west of the area. But there was nothing we could pay with. Money was worthless. We bargained away what little we had in belongings, or furniture, extra clothes. All the gasoline for the cars was gone. One night, after work, the word was passed to come down to the hall. Our mechanics had built a wind motor and kept the batteries of the radio there charged. But for a long time now, no regular broadcast had come in. Only weak, unintelligible signals from small, faraway stations. Now, for the first time, a nearby station came in clearly.
No one knows for sure how much of it's true, because all we can do is relay the reports that we've heard through our radio pickups. This morning, we heard a report from Area 226 that they'd picked up. It said that Army scouts have now explored Washington, D.C. It was so radioactive that it could not be entered for several months. The Capitol was found destroyed, and so were most of the big government buildings. There's been nobody to clean up the rubble, so grass and weeds are beginning to grow everywhere. A small group of men who were in the government at the time of the disaster set themselves up at Bethesda near Washington as the legal head of the government of the United States. We heard something about Chicago, too. There isn't a living being in the city, but there are several hundred thousand corpses all over the city, rotting in the rubble. Well, I guess that's about all the information we can give you at this time. Signing off now.
Everybody hung around and talked after the broadcast. It was the first radio most of us had heard since the disaster.
Washington, grown up with weeds.
It'll be a long time before there's any kind of real government there.
But that radio shows that we're making some progress.
Yeah. What are they going to do when some of the parts they're using wear out and they've got to have new ones?
I don't know. But that fact alone should make you see that we've got to do everything that we can while we're still living to make a new start with civilization. If we don't, our children and our grandchildren may go back to a dark age.
Okay, but how are we going to get through this winter without food?
We still have food.
But not enough to last through the winter. I know that if I got out of here, that I could rustle up enough food for myself somehow.
608 has promised to send us some food when their end of the railroad is repaired.
When the railroad is repaired? How do we know they're trying to repair it at all?
We've got to take their word for it. And we've got to stay here and work until they send it, or until we can grow some ourselves.
We'll never get through the winter.
Worked gathering wood every day. Harmon and I worked on a wagon, hauling it into town.
Every time I hear that fellow talking on the radio from 608, I find myself yearning for some music. You know, the way it used to be.
There probably isn't any available in 608.
Yeah, probably no records of any kind. Or maybe they haven't any equipment to play records.
No.
They never appreciated what we had, did we, Stanchion?
I guess not. But maybe they'll play some music when they come on tonight.
I don't know if I'll go down. I don't feel very well.
supper, Harmon and I went down to the hall.
One report that came in said that they're trying to get some small factories going, but they're not having much luck. There's no way of getting materials or rounding up workers. That's the way it is here in 608, too. Another reason here is the sickness. There's a lot of it. And yesterday we got some foreign news through the station in Maryland. Said that a Congress of Eastern Nations has proclaimed a world government and declared the United States a protectorate. Some say that we won't acknowledge a government not of our own choosing. But if they have ships and men to send over here, we're wondering how we can prevent them from taking us over. All right. Guess it's all this time. Signing off.
Then we don't have an independent country anymore.
Nope, not anymore.
What right have they to order us around?
Nations that were weaker than we were before the war are now stronger, if they weren't in the war.
Let's go back to the house.
Why should we be a protectorate?
Please, let's get back to the house. I don't feel well.
Mac was in a talkative mood. Harmon went to bed. He said he had a headache and chills. Mac kicked about the food. The rations had been cut. He lay there in the dark talking, and finally I went to sleep listening to him. Next morning, Mac and I got up to go to work. Harmon didn't get up.
I'll be all right. You go ahead.
Oh, here. I'll put my blankets on you.
No, you don't know what I've got. You'll need them.
Well, use them anyway.
Yeah.
I put my blankets over them, and Mac and I went to work. About half the workers didn't show up.
Everybody's sick.
I wonder what it is.
Remember that guy on the radio mentioned the sickness up in 608?
Yeah. I reported harmless illness. When we got back at night, the medic was there, a fellow that had some experience around hospitals.
You've got influenza, Harmon.
Oh?
You think it's the same thing they've got up in 608?
Maybe.
The medic told us how to keep Harmon warm, and then he told me something I hadn't thought of.
There's no medicine. And there probably won't be any of the kind we had before the war for, well, for years.
Isn't there anything we can do for him?
Heaven help us if anyone needs surgery.
Well, the least thing we can do is keep him warm. He can use my blankets, too.
That night, down to the mess hall before we ate, the director made an announcement.
Now the winter is setting in. We've taken all possible measures to provide for ourselves during the cold months ahead. If we cut down on our rations, perhaps we can make it. This we will do, starting with this meal. Seats, everyone.
What about that food that 608 was going to send us?
I don't know.
You know what I think? I think they're not going to send us a thing. They're going to keep everything they got.
Well,
figure it out. They ain't friends of ours. They're looking out for themselves. It's like we were different tribes with not enough for both of us.
We brought food for Harmon. He was worse. He didn't eat any of it. He wanted to talk.
Lying here alone, I've been thinking, Stanton. I want you to help me. When I get better, we've got to organize some kind of school here. We can teach in the houses or down to the hall.
That's right.
We've got to find some way of imparting to the small kids and to the grown-ups, too, all we know. And all that's been passed on to us by the generations that went before. Don't you think so?
Yes, sir. Oh, yes, I do, Harmon.
Everybody's got to exchange knowledge. We've got a dozen school teachers here, and engineers and doctors, and well, even the simplest man in this area can teach us something.
Yes, I know, Harmon.
We don't know how long we're going to be stuck here. How long before there'll be any kind of communications or railroads or telephones or telegraphs. Next spring, we can start planting crops if we can get some seed. But right now, during this winter, we've got to get started. Teaching everything. Right out of our memory. History, geography, arithmetic, everything.
Yes, Harmon. But you'd better rest
now. Oh, I'm all right. I know,
but let's talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah, let's. By all means, let's.
But go to bed.
You see, it's so important, Stanch.
I know.
Preserve what we have.
Listen to that wind.
The next morning was frosty.
We'll have snow before night. I'm still chilled from not having any covers last night. And almost no food today. I'd like to go down to those railroad tracks and walk until I got to 608. I know they got food there.
You'd starve to death before you got there, Mac. you wouldn't find even a crumb of food on the way. The twilight came early. Before dark, snow began to fall. We went directly from work to supper.
How do you think we're going to live on this?
McAllister, half the population of this farm area is sick. We can't starve them.
Mac grumbled, but he saved some of his beans for Harmon.
Let's listen to the broadcast before we go back.
We went down to the hall.
We got our first snow here in 608 today. We've all gone on short rations. They're still working on the railroad, but they haven't got anything to do the repairing with. We heard some news from abroad. India and China are probably going to be the centers of civilization for the next century. India and China weren't in the war, you know, so they weren't smashed up like we were. And neither was Japan. Japan has declared itself free from the conditions that we imposed on it after the last war. Well, that's about all this time. Signing off.
We hurried back to Harmon with the food.
Sometimes it scares me, Stanchion, to realize how our country's smashed. What do you think about that stuff about China and India and Japan?
Well, they weren't destroyed as we were.
No.
We went into the house with the food for Harmon. He was dead. Harmon was one of the first to go. About half the people in the area came down with sickness.
Oh, it's so hopeless. There's almost nothing we could do for them. No medicine.
No. And how's a man going to fight sickness on these kind of rations?
The winter settled down on us, snow and cold. We all helped with the burials. There were no more get-togethers at the hall. Mac and I were alone in the house now. We worked together during the day, went to the mess hall together. At night, we talked in the dark.
How many do you think have died in the area?
I don't know, Mac.
Well, most of them that got it died. 7,000 or 8,000, maybe.
Yeah, that's probably about right.
That'll mean more food for the rest of us.
He said it without malice. And as he said it, I looked at him. I compared him with how he looked the first time I saw him here months ago. He was thin and haggard. His whiskers and hair were shaggy. His clothes tattered. I knew that I must look the same. Harmon was gone. Men like Harmon had seen before the atomic war what must be done to prevent war, but they had not been able to prevail. A lot of them were killed the day the atomic bombs started falling, and many have died since. I wondered what men like Mac and I could do.
What do I know? I don't know nothing.
You know a lot, Mac. A lot that would be valuable to the young people growing up. And you should pass it on to them. I mean, what you do know.
Look, Stanchion, let's quit worrying about tomorrow. Let's worry about today. It's every man for himself. If I could have kept moving around, I'd be all right. But here I am, snowed in, out in the wilderness and starving.
Mac got one of Harmon's blankets. I got the other. Still, we were cold. More snow came. It was dead winter. The broadcast from 608 dropped off. Day after day, we waited for some word. Mac never went down to wait anymore. I could feel trouble was coming. Once in a while, something came over the radio.
From what we hear, some of the dispersal areas must have starved out. We don't hear anything from them anymore. The army has taken over all the seed for growing crops. There's no news about the world government and its plan to make America and Europe its protectorates. Well, it's about all this time, signing off.
The weeks passed. Mac didn't talk at all anymore. All we did was try to keep alive. Our rations went down next to nothing. I went to see the director.
We've got to believe that 608 has told us over the radio.
Yeah, but they haven't mentioned anything about food for weeks. Do you think they will help us, or is that a matter of...
There's no transportation station. The railroad's out of commission, and that's the only communication between here and there. If there were transportation, we could...
What's that?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. I'll look out the window.
Well, what is it?
It's a mob coming here.
A mob? Well, what are they?
McAllister. McAllister's leading them.
McAllister?
What do they want?
We've come!
come here as a committee to talk to you.
Yes?
Yes. You've run things here just like you wanted ever since the war, and we haven't had any say.
I'm the director of this area, and the government's backing me up.
What government? There isn't enough food in this area to last 2 weeks more. And then what are we
going to
do?
We're going to make it last until spring.
We're going to do nothing of the kind. We're going to take the food we got, and we're going to head up the tracks for 608. They've got food, and they're going to give some of it to us.
We're going to do nothing of the kind. We'd never get there.
Some of us would get there.
Mac. How could the women and children in this area make a walk of that kind? How could most of us? We'd die of exposure and sickness and starvation before we ever got there.
We didn't come here to talk, Stanton. We came here to tell this man who thinks he's our boss what we're going to do. All right, fellas, grab him. Come on.
Wait a minute.
Get out of the way, Stanton. From now on, this committee's going to give the orders. And if you and this man don't want to go along with us, you can stay here. But we're taking the food.
Hey, you take your hands off me.
Hey, what's that?
What?
That sound. Listen. It's a train whistle. It's a locomotive whistle.
We all rushed down to the tracks. We stood there with tears in our eyes as the train came in. It brought food, but not from 608. For 608 had no more food than we. It brought seed, so that in a few weeks, we could start our planting. The crops are in now, and everyone in this area is working on them. One train comes in about every 2 weeks. And they bring us not only supplies, but information about what's happening in the rest of the country. In 2 or even 3 years, there'll be materials for homes. By the same time, some of the water power stations will be restored, and industrial electricity will become available again in some areas. Coal mining is being resumed. One-third of the normal production may be reached by next year. The world government has asked us to join it as an autonomous unit. We probably will have no choice but to join. I hope before I die that I can once more visit a center of civilization, such as we had here, before we were devastated by the atomic war.
Gentlemen, you have just heard J. Carroll Nash, starring in the 7th program in NBC's series, The Fifth Horseman, written and directed by Arnold Marquis. Next week at this same time over most of these stations, the National Broadcasting Company will present the last program in this series titled, Memo to Mankind. One man's reaction to the problem of what to do about the control of atomic energy. J. Carroll Nash appeared tonight through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of the Technicolor production Holiday in Mexico. The music for The Fifth Horseman is composed and conducted by Thomas Peluso. The Fifth Horseman came to you from Hollywood. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.